David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm very excited because we have a very special author on today. Her name is Yara Banks, and she is the author of The Executive Blind Spot. And I'm very excited to have her on the show. She has a great book, and it has a great information about a lot of different areas, about HR, about leadership, and many more other components that are so important today in our work field. And really, there's a lot of things, a lot of misconceptions, a lot of miscommunication, and a lot of things that really need to be brought up into the open, and different tools, strategies, and ways that we could actually incorporate into different companies, businesses, corporations, to help us all become one unity and work together as a strong workforce and really be able to excel and elevate to higher levels in our whole United States. And I am so excited to have you on the show today, Yara. It is a pleasure and an honor to have you here. Can you tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do?
First of all, thank you, Stacey. I am humbled to be able to have this platform to share what I brought today. My name is Yara Banks. I'm the CEO of BNX Business Advisors. We are an integrated HR and business solution provider. We work nationwide. So we work on business problems and we work on people problems. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of both.
Right. Now, when it comes to business problems and it comes to things in the workforce, are there common problems that you kind of come across that are consistent in a lot of different businesses?
Absolutely. So that's what caused me to write the book in the first place. There are common themes. Just to give you a few, communication. You mentioned that earlier. Leadership skill gap. You mentioned that earlier. Workplace culture is going to be a huge one. Mm-hmm. And how do I put it? Valuing the asset, the biggest asset in the organization, which is people, showing value to that beyond a paycheck.
Yes. Now, when it comes to your book, what was some of the things that provoked you really? Now, you mentioned these are some of the aspects that you had that really motivated you to write the book. But when you started to write the book, did you come to any realizations when you started to, you know, write the book and go from chapter to chapter, like you talked about? Are there certain really important factors that we need to really emphasize, you know, when it comes to businesses?
Yes. So the most important thing, the book is called The Executive Blind Spot, How Misalignment with HR Will Impact Your Bottom Line. We as a ecosystem of business owners, right, are missing the mark on partnering with HR, human resources, to manage the biggest asset that we have. As business owners, we have a fiduciary responsibility to use every tool in the toolbox. Yes. To make the business as profitable as possible for all stakeholders involved. Those stakeholders are both internal and external.
Right.
And part of that stakeholder family is the employees.
Yes.
Okay. We as business owners cannot do what we do without the people who help us.
100%. 100%. Okay?
And so that's what happens. A lot of times those people are seen as ID numbers, but not as people. Not as revenue generating tools, not as a valuable part of the organization as a whole. That's the reoccurring theme. The blind spot that I talk about is the fact that we don't utilize the tool to help manage that asset, which is human resources.
Right.
They need to be brought in at the beginning of conversations, strategic planning levels, not after you've made a decision. Now go ahead and implement.
Right.
But work together to make sure you are making informed decisions about everyone involved in this situation and how whatever the plans are going to impact everyone in order to get a 360 view of everything going on and all the tools you have available to make a certain plan and implement that, you're going to have to include human resources. And that is probably the biggest blind spot.
I don't think a lot of people realize how important human resources is. You know, every good company has a strong human resources department, but I don't think people realize all the responsibilities and all the tasks that go into human resources.
Okay, so at BNX, we see three levels of human resource engagement. This is how we see it. You have the administrative level, which is what is most familiar with most people, okay? And that's your paperwork, your hiring, your firing, your benefits, all of that kind of stuff. That's
Right.
administrative. That's always ongoing. And then we have a tactical level. That tactical level is hands-on, all hands on deck. There's a problem we need to solve, or we're implementing a new strategy, or we have a new software, and we have a project. That's short term, maybe 3, 6 months, all hands on deck. And
Right.
then we have the strategic level, which is forecasting. What's our vision? How do you see yourself in the next 5 years, right? We get that, right? But that's the third level of engagement when it comes to HR. Unfortunately, in a lot of organizations, HR never gets off that administrative level.
Yes.
And so to really understand what all HR involves, you have to understand they're managing your biggest asset and all that it takes to manage that. And so you have to look at it from the perspective of, like, I always use this example. Let's say you have a hedge fund, right? You hire a hedge fund manager, but you only ever let them read bank statements.
Right.
What good is that? Like, they
Yeah.
need to be able to have access to everything involved with that hedge fund. They need to be able to give you their professional, educated, experienced opinion on where we go next with it, not
Right.
just do one level of it. And so, like you said, I recently read a poll. 78% of CEOs polled said they didn't really understand what HR does. HR is your administrative leave, your administrative person.
Yeah.
They're a risk manager. People forget about that part. There's an
Right.
investigative arm that goes along with that. There's
Yeah.
a consulting arm that goes along with that. There's a strategic arm that goes along with that. So there's so much more they do than just paperwork.
Yes.
So they need to be invited to the seat at the table.
Right.
Okay. We joked earlier, people always say people in HR know where all the bodies are buried. That's because they're in touch with the people. They have
Right.
ear to the ground. They know everything that's going on, good, bad, and ugly. So
Right.
you need that perspective and a 360 view before you start making plans that adjust will impact the entire organization if you don't have all the seats filled at the table.
Yes. I've seen so many companies make decisions like CEOs, and they make decisions not knowing really what's going on below them. And a lot of times it hurts the company. You'll see the company start to dwindle and fall. You know, sometimes it pivots really quickly downhill because CEO is making decisions based on what they think is the right decision, but they really don't understand what's going on. They're lacking that communication with the HR department. They're lacking communication with the employees. They're not spending time to understand who their HR department is, what their responsibilities are, what's going on at the current moment. And then they're not also understanding who their employees are, how their employees feel about working there. Are they happy? Are they not happy? What is lacking? What's not lacking? What can we do better to make our employees happy? Because if the employees are happy, they're going to work harder and then the business is going to thrive. How do we grasp that and tie that all in?
People innately want to be the best them they can be. Okay. So, in order to make that happen, we have to give them every available tool to use. Do you have a shoddy computer system? It's so hard to work. It's always going down. We're always getting upgrades and then we're out of work and it's hard to
Right.
use and all of that, right? That's a problem, right? Because they can't do everything they need to do to the level in which we expect them to do it.
Right.
Is there a communication problem where folks don't know, the left hand, the right hand don't know what's going on? It behooves an organization to make sure everybody in that organization knows what's coming downstream and what happens upstream.
Yes.
Because if all I do is, tap buttons all day long, if I tap the wrong button, I don't understand how that affects downstream. That could be
Yeah.
huge. All I know is I tapped the wrong button. Oops, my bad, right? People also want to feel a part of something bigger than themselves. They want to be included
Yes.
in the organization because if I feel a piece of ownership, I'm going to work harder because this isn't your company, Stacy, it's our company,
Right. Exactly.
right? And so, as long as you can include them and give them all the tools necessary and show that you value their attendance and their participation, people will keep showing up for you time after time after time.
Yes.
They will show up for you. It is bigger than a paycheck. I saw another study that had the top 10 rankings of what's most important to employees. They had employees fill out this survey, and then they had CEOs and executive staff fill out this survey. Executive staff said number one was salary. Employees had salaries number seven.
Wow.
Okay. We're not on the same page, and we can't be without having that open rapport and relationship and communication. So if you think all you can do is throw money at her, or I'll give her a little raise, or I'll give her a little Starbucks coffee card or whatever like that, and that's going to make them go all out for you, you've got it all wrong. But then you said to yourself, well, if that's not the answer, what's the answer? The answer is talk to your human resource people. Find out. Talk to middle management. Find out. We send out these surveys every year to ask people how they like working for us and whatever, and then they do nothing with it. Or they do something with it, but they don't communicate that they did anything with it. So the outcome's the same. You did nothing with it, as far as I can tell, right? There are so many layers in an organization. It is so beyond just a balance sheet. But I will tell you this, if you do it right, all those line items that are expenses like turnover, cost to recruit, cost to train, lawsuits, you know what I mean? All of those things are going to start to dwindle. And on the other side, you're going to see more profitability, more revenue coming in, right? If you do it right, but you have to have it in your ingrained in your organizational culture that this is how we want to treat our people. Now, if you've been in business for 20 years, it's not too late. Just like you would rebrand for a product, you can rebrand your company. And the rebranding happens on the outside, but a lot of people forget about the internal branding. This is our core values. This is what we stand for. This is what's important to us. This is what's not happening under my watch. Those things are very key for people to understand where they are and where they stand. And then after that, Stacey, we have to walk the talk. Because just like children who watch their parents, these employees are watching the leadership. And out of one part, you're saying we value employees, and the next thing you're like, we're not giving raises, but we're going to give bonuses to the top folks. Like people watch that. Or you say, I want you to be successful, but then you don't give me a new system so that we can all like be more productive. Or you don't give me ongoing training. You don't give me constant feedback. I'm not able to share my opinions. I'm just a rump in a seat. I mean nothing to you. And if I mean nothing to you, then guess what? You mean nothing to me either. And so we've got to change that mindset. But again, it starts with working with HR and understanding where your gaps lie, communication gaps, culture gaps, leadership skill gaps. Where do those, how do those problems manifest itself in the organization as a whole and then on our balance sheet? And now that we understand where the gaps are, because we've done a need assessment, because we've really polled and draw and drilled down to what those problems are. We did a root cause analysis. Now we can start building the implementation plan on how to change it. But don't just sit and use only a core people to make those implementation plans. Invite everybody from every level of the organization to have input on there. Because you really have to understand what it is they do. But setting that culture and setting that expectation starts at the very first time when somebody says, sends a letter to HR and says, hey, we need to hire three more people in our department. We need to know why. What do you expect them to learn or to be doing? How does that impact your department and then the organization as a whole? It's like understanding your return on investment from the very beginning. It needs to be articulated. What do I expect from these positions? Shouldn't just be putting money out. You should expect to get something back, right? So setting those expectations from the beginning. And then as you go out and you push out your job posting, your culture, what your expectations should be part of that job posting. So they know what they're walking into, and be honest about it. There are some cultures that are very, let's see, what's the word I want to use? There are some cultures that are very, okay, let's think about IT. People in IT, they say they're more introverted, they're not very friendly and outgoing. That's this perception. It's not the truth, but that's just the
Right.
perception, right?
Yep.
So if I know I'm walking into an IT company, I can expect the culture to be a little bit more stiff, so to speak, right? But if I'm walking into an art school, I would expect that the culture might be a little bit more loose and more relaxed and casual and whatever. Understand what the culture is and be able to portray that and again walk that talk.
Yes.
That's going to be important because people need to know where they stand. Continuous feedback is huge. Okay. So when we talked about the HR piece and what does that really have to do with anything? We have to work with that partner.
Yes.
And if you are making decisions that affect the people outside of them, you're setting yourself up for a failure.
Right.
Or at least, if not a failure, you're setting yourself up to not.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Fully realize the potential of whatever plan you have.
Yes.
Okay. With mergers and acquisitions, right? You see two different companies coming together. They have their own culture, they have their own way of being, their own organizational structure, their walk, their talk, right? I saw something that said 92% of mergers and acquisitions that fail to meet the mark of the purpose of the merger and acquisition in the first place is due to culture. They were never able to do a workforce alignment to get everybody on the same page.
Right.
It's important. You might not think, you might say, oh, that's warm and fuzzy stuff, but it impacts everything and all of your potential for the organization. It really
Right.
does. If you look at the list of the top 20 companies to work for, you're going to see culture plays a huge role in that. I'm not
Yes.
saying get a pool table and skateboards through the building. I'm not saying that because those are superficial things.
Yes.
We want to talk about what you give to that employee to give them to feel to give them value, right? So they feel valued, but to give them confidence and autonomy and empowerment to be the best them they can be.
Yes.
That's what you want. Whether they're the janitor, whether they're the CEO, you want them to be the best that
Yes.
they can be. So you give them everything. Now, with all this being said, one of the key drivers of productivity within an organization is going to be your middle management. I love reading studies. Once again, read a study that said 63% of CEOs believe that there's a huge skill gap in the middle management and that it affects their bottom line. Skill gap means that they need more skills. So to me, the obvious answer is to train.
Right.
But somehow that gets missed. I'm not sure how that's missed, but somehow that gets missed. Let me tell you about the poor middle management, okay? Middle managers become managers because they've been there the longest.
Right.
They're really good at the job they do now. Those are usually the two biggest considerations into promoting from within into middle management.
Right.
And so once you get that promotion, if you offer me a promotion in the middle management, I'm going to say yes. Why? I'm thinking, okay, that might give me the opportunity to make some changes that I've seen.
Yeah.
It might give me an opportunity for a title boost and increased incentive for like paychecks, right? So am I
Right.
going to say no? Absolutely not. But did I ask all the right questions? What's the training time? What
Yeah.
does training cycles look like? How much training will I get? Will there be a time frame before you put KPIs or key performance indicators on so I can get trained up to where I need to be? Is my
Exactly.
opinion going to be valued? Do I have some autonomy over my team? These are questions that should be asked, but most times they don't know to ask them because they're really not ready for middle management.
Okay.
Okay. Now, with that being said, somebody promoted these folks into middle management. Were they ready to receive people into middle management?
Right.
They have a structured training program set out beyond how to approve timesheets and, how to do reports for that role. There's a bigger part of it. Those are your first line of defense on managing your people.
Yeah.
What kind of skills have you given them?
Right.
Emotional intelligence, strategic planning, team building, communication, how to have difficult conversations, performance management,
Yeah.
succession planning. Did you give them any tools on how to manage those parts of that
Right.
job of middle management? So poor things, they get it from the top. I mean, from the top down, and they get it from the bottom up.
Yeah.
The confidence level of middle management in most organizations is not high, but it's not
Right.
necessarily their fault. They should not get into the job and you expect them to know everything day one. There should be a continuous improvement training program set in place.
Yes.
In BNX, we have a program called Lead Forward. Lead Forward is like a 6 month to 9 month training program that gives them all those things that we talked about. That an
Right.
organization can have us come out. We'll set it up for you. We'll put it in place. We'll start out your first cohort. If you want us to keep going, we will. But if not, we'll help teach somebody in your organization, your training department, or your HR, whoever you have, to continue that cohort beyond just the first year.
Yeah.
There's always more to learn.
Oh, yeah.
Things are always changing. That's one thing we can be sure of. We can bet our bottom dollar something's going to change.
Right.
Right? So you need to, because it helps enforce their confidence as well.
Yes.
In my first book, I was telling you about one of the things I say is when you go ask your supervisor, your manager something, and they don't have the answer, a lot of times people are afraid because of the expectation you're a manager or supervisor simply saying, I don't know. So they'll say, don't worry about that. That doesn't concern us right now. That's my job. They'll say all those things to deflect from the fact that they honestly just don't know.
Yeah.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
We need to give those guys the tools to be successful.
Right.
They are the face of the company to the employees.
Yes.
When you do an employee satisfaction survey, and they're going to ask questions, or would you recommend this company to someone else? They're not looking at the CEO, they're looking at their supervisor.
Right.
If you're asking, how do you like working for the company? They're not looking at the CEO. They're looking for that supervisor. Do you
Yes.
feel there's a trust factor with between you and the company? They're not looking at the CEO. They're looking at that supervisor.
Yes.
So we got to prepare them. They have to be the most bulked up. If you think about a weightlifting competition or whatever, they're the people who have to get the protein drinks and eat the 10 raw eggs every morning and all of that. Those people need to be bulked up. They got to be
Yeah.
able to handle, they have to have shoulders strong enough to handle the top down, but also enough from the bottom up.
Right.
And the skill gap there is huge because we expect, because their title is manager supervisor, they know what they need to know.
Yes.
A lot of companies are not preparing for the fact that these people are not trained to handle what you expect them to handle.
Right.
And so now you have to build that into your organization. And then further, you need to watch out for gaps of continuity due to retirement, acts of nature.
Yep.
People leave, they move, they, God forbid, they retire, they pass on, things like that. And you don't want to have those gaps there. So
Yeah.
you need to also make sure that you're working with human resources to create a succession plan.
Yes.
This cohort that you're building and this leadership training, you're always going to have people in there. And ideally, you want people in there before they get promoted.
Right.
So if something happens, you're ready to go right into that slot. So there's so much that's encompassed in this whole organizational outlook that are beyond dollars and cents. But
Yeah.
if you do it right and get the people factor right, it will definitely show up on the dollars. dollars and cents, right? We say we
Yeah.
tie people to dollars and dollars to your bottom line.
Right.
But the first thing in that equation is people.
Yes.
You got to give them the tools. You
Who
got to
should
give them the tools.
be responsible for creating these training programs? Because a lot of times there's holes in it, you know, and you know, one people like to point the finger, well, they should have did that, and this person, you know, this department should have did this, and you know, that's missing because this one didn't do this. Who is responsible for creating a structured, you know, solid training program so we could have that unity within the corporation?
Ideally, you would want it to be, if you have a training department, you would want it to be the training department. If not, please get an outside consultant to help you, because if you don't have a training department, that chances are you have a very small human resource department and they are devoting all their time to the administrative part and don't have time for the tactical or strategical. And so to pull them in that direction, you're not going to have a good program. It's not because they're not good people, that they don't know their stuff, they're just spread too thin. So, and then from that training program, what you have to do first in building a training program is to get a needs assessment. Don't go and think, oh, I already know what they need to know. Ask, what do you not know? What do you need to know that's going to make you more successful?
Very, yes.
And then go to the people beyond them and say, hey, what do you think your managers need to know more about? And then go to the executive level. What do you think middle management needs to know more about? It needs to be a comprehensive training program that's 360 view of what you need to know to be successful. And then you need mentor programs. So you need a general training program for managers, the stuff I talked about, the soft skills, emotional intelligence, communication, all that stuff. But then you need a training program for that particular department or function. But in all of that, you also need to incorporate what do other departments do? Because for several reasons. One, at some point, I might have a wild hair that I want to not do this department anymore and move over to another one. Or there's somebody under me who says, hey, Yara, I think I'm ready for the next level. What do you think about me working in this department? Well, I have no idea what they do over there, right? So I need to have some ideas. And that's all part of that internal culture, because you need your department heads and managers to be cohesive. You need them to work together. So if Johnny has a spot open, he says, hey, if you have anybody that you think might fit this, let me know. And I can start to groom Jenny on, hey, this department's going to need somebody soon. This is what they're looking for. Do you have those skills? Okay, well, maybe you can work with me on this project. You'll have a little bit of those skills. So that mentoring is important. All of that goes into really having strong leaders in your organization. So, to short of that's a long answer to the short of it is everybody should be involved in creating this training program. And if you don't have the bandwidth inside, reach out to someone like BNX Business Advisor. Someone like my company can come in. Even if we don't implement the training, we can design the training program for you. So, if you don't have it, get it. If you're sick, you go to a doctor. If you need legal problems, you go to a lawyer. If you need HR problems and you don't have it, reach out to a consultant. Because that's what we're here for, to add on to what you already have in place. So that's key. There are so many aspects of this that I think just get so overlooked. But just like I'm here talking about it, I'm sure that if you engage in your human resources and say, hey, listen, Stacey, what are we doing here? We're all over the place. How do we get focused back? How do we get back to where we need to be? What are your thoughts about this strategic plan, this program, this idea? And how do you think it'll affect the people in the organization? And how much risk do we have? Because when we talk about risk, we think about lawsuits, we think about people stealing money, we think of, but there's reputational harm that can be done with a lot of this. So people, I don't care how much you're paying, I'm not working for that company. I read about it on Glassdoor. I read about it on Yelp. I'm not working for that one. And then your stakeholders, external stakeholders, your customers, let me give you a prime example of today's real life. This whole DEI thing. People are getting rid of D&I. They're rolling it back or whatever the framework is. Folks are the customers are not happy.
No.
The employees are not happy. So that is affecting companies. You see people doing boycotts and protests and all of these things because of that. It's important to understand when you make a decision, how does it affect those around you? Those around you. That's very, very important.
Oh,
So
yeah.
that's the kind of thing I'm talking about when I'm talking about reputational harm. It goes beyond your employees are mad about a decision you made.
Right.
But here's the thing. I tell people in leadership training all the time, always come with a communication plan. If you're making a change, come with a communication plan. This is why we were doing the current process. We were hoping to achieve X. Unfortunately, we didn't get there. So
Yeah.
we're going to shift gears. Here's what our new goal is. Here's how we want to implement it. And if you've already had, if you have a decision on high, right, you have to stay with the chain of command and deliver that decision. But if it's
Right.
a decision that you get to make, you can ask for others' inputs on how do
Yes.
you think the best way is to solve this problem?
Right.
And just because someone gives you their opinion on how to solve it doesn't mean that you have to do it that way. But
Yeah.
what you do is I value your opinion, and unfortunately, we can't make that work because of why.
Right.
But here's what we're going to do. Here's how it's going to impact the work that you do on the daily, right? This is how it impacts you. We understand there's going to be an impact to you. We thought about it. Here's what we know.
Yes.
Because that tells people you thought about me.
Right.
You included me in your thought process for this organization. It cannot, we cannot just, you think about the millennials and then you think about the Gen Xers, all the other gens that are coming after that are coming into the workplace. To say my way or the highway is not going to work for that group of people.
No.
It's not. So how do we pivot to make our workplace multi-generational?
Yes.
But then you're communicating a many methods that affect different people. They
Yes.
receive it differently. That's part of emotional intelligence, right? Understanding your people. I tell managers and leaders whenever I'm in training, I tell them this. Correction without relationship will never work. If I am talking to you on a daily basis every morning, how's it going, Stacy? You need anything from me today? What are we looking at? What are you working on? How's the fam? Whatever you say on a normal basis, you have a relationship, at least a rapport with these folks. So now, Stacy, when I have to come tell you that your work is kind of falling off and I need you to focus on this, you're not going to take it as I'm just out to get you. You're going to take it as I have your best interest at heart. Because I know you. But because I have a rapport, I also know how I can come to you. Now, I happen to be a meat and potatoes kind of gal. I don't need the fluff, just spit it out. What we talking about here, right? That's how I am. But I know some people need the wind up. You got to give them the fluff first and then lay it out on the table, right? So I know how I am and how I like information delivered, but because I know you and I built a rapport with you, I also know how you like information delivered. Not just how you like it be delivered, but how it's going to settle the best with you.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
That's important because as you start making changes, you already know in your mind, okay, this person's going to have a fit. This person's going to be open. This person's going to be opposed. You know that because you know your team. You know your people. So now, how do I craft the best communication strategy that's going to meet people where they are? I don't need you to agree with it, team, but I need you to understand this is the direction we're taking, why we're taking it, and what we hope to accomplish. During this process, if we find out this isn't working, we may have to pivot a different way. Man, they're always changing stuff. Yes, because we want to get the best outcome. But communicate that to people and do it via email, do it in the company newsletter, do it in small team meetings, do it from on high, do it do a video if you have to, so people can absorb it. They get the message over and over again. But if you gotta make little napkins with it, with whatever you're trying to do, branding is what you're thinking, right? What's the message you want to portray? The message is we value you. We couldn't be who we are without you, and we want to help you succeed in your career. And we want to build a strong, profitable organization for future years to come so that you can grow up with the organization and in the organization. And we want to make money, all of us together. That's what we're doing here.
Right. I
You
love
want to
it.
craft that communication strategy.
Yes. Oh, most definitely. I like the way you think because you really make it into a solid foundation because a lot of times you go into companies and it's everything scattered all over the place. You know, you have people are grouped up into little cliques and they're doing their thing, they're doing their thing, they're doing their thing, and they, you know, and everything gets lost in the run. And then when you try to put everything together, things aren't working right and people are saying, "Why isn't it working right?" Well, like you said, you know, that
Right.
communication, that leadership, you know, understanding each individual group, each individual section, and knowing what's going on, and that communication with those individuals is so important because I've seen so many corporate bosses and managers just tell people what to do, tell people what they're doing wrong, but they don't have that rapport, they don't have that relationship, and that really can hurt, I think, a business or a corporation. And
Absolutely.
you know, and you really do have to have a lot of little, you know, you have to really work hard, like you said, in each different component and make sure in the end everything kind of ties in with each other.
Consistent messaging, walking the talk. Consistent messaging and walking the talk is huge. I did a project once. It was a credit union that merged with another credit union and then bought a bank. Now, I don't know if you know this, but banks and credit unions have two totally different cultures. Banks are about the dollar. Credit unions are about the people because it's owned by the people, right? Two totally different cultures. Man, you want to talk about a culture clash? And on top of all that, it was 14 different locations throughout an entire state. So 2 years after they made all these changes, they're realizing stuff's not working. We need help. We know it's broken. We don't know how to fix it. They came to be an ex business advisor. They came to me. I worked on that project for about 8 or 9 months. And when I tell you I had to do everything from top to bottom, like we had to do everything from top to bottom because we have to get it on the same page. They had like three different organizations within one, and they actually had names for each of it. So how can we be cohesive when we are all using different names for different folks and different branches? Now the branches were spread out geographically, so there were different cultures inside the branches. If you're in a rural area, you wear in a three-piece suit to work, even if it's in a bank, that doesn't really work for your customer base, right? So if it's time to give out toasters because we want to open checking accounts, are the farmers using toasters? No, they could probably use a pocket knife, right? Are the yuppies using toasters? Probably not. They'd be a Keurig might work. You know what I mean? So it's just like you have to understand your audience. But within this project, we had to redo all the job descriptions. We had to set up a new org chart so that everybody was included. We had to visit every one of those different branches and get a feel. Talk with the people on the ground. What do you need? What's missing? What do you not feel you have? How can we communicate better? All of those things. We had to, it was just so much involved in that project. And it was probably one of my favorite projects because at the end, when I walked in there, it was like with the amount of like resentment and the amount of tension. People were still in a three group silo. Everybody's feeling very much, this is my group, this is my group, this is my group. And it was there was a lot of pushback and it was really hard to communicate because everybody was me, 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 my. But the last meeting I had with them, and it was a group of all the managers, and just the talk.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Was so completely different. The feel, the look, like the people were kind of setting up. They were like, I'm confident in what I'm doing for my people. I understand how to communicate with them. I understand what is needed in each one of the groups. But we did process improvement. We did an organizational alignment. We did a culture alignment. We redid their training program from like a 2-week onboarding process to like a 90-day training program. We did leadership training. We implemented mentoring programs. We even got them to hire a communication specialist to focus on all the communication that goes out throughout the organization. Like, all of those things, meetings, all of those things that had to be done in order to bring people on the same page. And it made a world of difference because even their customer service scores improved because they were not so, I just have to be here. They were like, I want to be here. So all of those things make a difference.
They do.
They really do. The other part of it is have focus groups. Don't just send out a survey. Talk to the folks. Multiple meetings where people can come and put their input. From my experience, this is how I felt. I had a lady in one of my projects during a focus group, and she was bawling. And I was like, what's going on? She said, I just don't feel like they want me here. Wow. Like, that's bad. You know what I'm saying? That's bad. I don't feel wanted. It wasn't that my job's horrible. I don't like what I do. I don't feel wanted. I also tell you that we did for that job description for the merger one that I was referring to, we had to redo 80 different jobs, which meant we had to have a meeting or interview with everybody who held those 80 different job titles. That's a lot of meetings, a lot of interview, a lot of time. And one of the questions we asked them, what's most important to you? Your job, your title, or your salary? Out of those 80 groups of people, there were only 3 people who said salary and only 2 people who said title. What that means is people like what they're doing. Help them do it better. I don't care what somebody said, I don't care what you pay me. Just let me do my job. Other people said, I don't care what you call me. Just let me do my job. Obviously, people are at work because they have to feed their family. So I'm not trying to, by any means, assume that nobody cares about the salary. They do, just not their highest priority. Because I can, if I'm making $20 an hour, I'm just saying, I can go make $20 an hour doing almost anything. Right? But I wanted to be here because I like what I'm doing. So then a bigger part of that is how to build that team cohesiveness, that team culture, how to make us all one. Couple things that I like for that is obviously you have to do engagement activities with your people. That doesn't always mean cookies and tea and coffee and pizza lunch. Sometimes it's just let's have a staff meeting and talk about what was your win for today or this week? What was your biggest challenge this week? How can I help you? What do you need from me? But on the other hand, being open as a leader to say, where am I falling short? What are things you think I need to work on? And being open to take on that feedback and make changes is where applicable. Okay? That's important. They have feedback that goes both ways. It should not just be one way once a year when it's time to determine if you're going to get a raise or whatever. It should be continuous feedback the entire year long, good, bad, or indifferent. I see you, Stacy. I see what you've been doing. I see what you contribute to the team, and I appreciate that. That's it. That's enough. It doesn't have to be some written formal thing. It should just be because I care about you as a person. I want you to know I value you. And if you're having problems, Stacy, I noticed lately your work's been a little off. Is there something I can do to help? Do you need something from me? What's going on with you? I remember I worked a job one time and I had to actually dumb down. I had to, I'll just say dumb down, I already said it, dumb down my resume in order to get a foot in the door. And it was very humbling experience to me because, I mean, I have a master's degree, I have all these certifications, I pay big money, I'm still paying big money on that college education, okay? So for me to take it off of a resume just to get a job, I had to. I did, and I got the job. But I still had all these skill sets. And so when I would finish my work, I would go to the supervisor and the manager and go, hey, I notice I hear so-and-so here is struggling a little bit. So-and-so's there struggling. I have this system that I'm using to do the same work. Are you okay if I go maybe sit by and shadow with them or have them shadow with me so they can get some extra tips that might help them produce a little faster? No problem. What manager would say no to that? An insecure manager. It feels like you're trying to come off for the job, but other than that, absolutely, that's one less thing I have to worry about.
Right.
Utilize your people because I might be bored and you don't want me to quit because I'm bored and I feel like there's no potential. At
Yeah.
least preparing me to be a coach, prepare me to move to the next level. Give me,
Yeah.
hey, I'm overwhelmed as a manager. I have these other little things that are falling by the wayside. So would you mind helping me with that?
Yeah.
That's giving me skills and showing me that you value what I bring to the table.
100%.
Be the champion for your people. Don't be stingy with them.
Right.
If you have a rock star on your team and you don't want to tell them about other job openings in the department or in the company because you want them to be your rock star, you're being selfish. You're
Yeah.
not, it's not fair to them. It's not fair to the organization. And rather than be stifled, most people just quit and go someplace else where they can do what they want to do.
Right.
Like, but you have to understand this about people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just got the job because you're really good at the job you do right now, but you don't really like talking and interacting with people,
Yeah.
then there's a problem.
Right.
Gap. So all of these things are out there. I do want to say one more thing before I forget about it. This world we live in, our workforce is changing, leaps and bound beyond any of us, any of our wildest dreams.
Yep.
Now, more than ever, you have to plug into human resources. Because guess what? We're the ones sitting on these podcasts, listening to the government saying, this is how things are changing. And we have to decide in our head how to give you advice that's
Yes.
going to keep you compliant with all these new law changes, executive orders, and all these things. We're
Yes.
the ones who have to come up with the strategic plan on how to align these new executive orders with your current workforce. What
Yes.
changes to be made? What kind of training do we have to implement? How do we have to change our messaging, our programming, our documents?
Yes.
Those are those people.
Right.
And when you don't know, you're not, no one's hosting CEO roundtables about these things because you
Yeah.
have people on your team, human resource people on your team to help you do that. And once again, if it's a human resource department of one, they don't have the capacity of that. If it's a
Right.
small department, they might not have the capacity. Tap in to people like me, BNX business advisors to consultants, because that's what we're doing day in and day out. We're getting the goods, we're bringing it back.
Yes.
And we're saying this is how the best way to implement as we know right now. Now, as most people know, these executive orders have come out, Stacey, with no guidance. All
Yep.
they're saying is what you cannot do. Well, what can you do? Well,
Yeah.
that's where human resource comes into play. We have to understand the rules from the state, local level that are already in place to make sure nothing contradicts. Every single state that we live in this country has different employment laws. How
Yep.
does that line up? You need your HR professionals to know that. I literally studied every single state and review them every 90 days to make sure that any laws change, I am on top of it.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you implement that? But still encourage your people. And if you have to make changes, like if you have a DEI program, for instance, that you have to roll back, communicate it.
Yes.
Why? What exactly is being rolled back? Or are you just changing the name, but you still believe, and our company still values your opinion. We value your walk, where you came from, your experience. We value the diverse mindsets and education that we have within our organization. And we have not ever, and we don't intend to do any type of quota system. We
Right.
just want you to feel a part of this organization. We want you to know we value you. And so we're just going to change the name. And frankly, some people may or may not agree with this. That name, diversity, equity, inclusion, has now a stain. And really, you want everybody to feel included and everybody to be a part of your organization because that's how you're the most profitable,
Yeah.
right? So if it has a negative connotation, you don't want that. So you might want to change the name for the simple fact that you just don't want the negativity associated with it.
Right.
But keep doing what you're doing. Because if you're not breaking any laws, the executive orders say they want to get rid of unlawful DEI programs. If
Right.
your programs were lawful, you have nothing to worry about. You just want to change the name so just it has a better spin on it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that people can start seeing it in a different light and understanding where you're coming from. But you've got to communicate it.
Yes.
You have to say, this is what we're doing and why, and this is how it affects you. Nothing internally is changing. We're changing the name. Coca-Cola is now Coke. Nothing else has changed. The recipe's the same.
Yes.
So that's what you have to, that's where communication is key. I need to understand, because if I'm sitting at a workplace and all of a sudden I get a memo or I see a flash from the news media that says my company is no longer doing DEI, I'm gonna feel some kind of way if I don't know anything about it. Like, come to me and let's talk about what does that mean as an organization. Have a town hall meeting, have it on Zoom, have it on, put out some communication so people understand where we're going with it. Going to be huge.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
So that's a lot of where the blind spot comes from. The blind spot comes from not tapping into your partner, human resources, because underneath that umbrella of human resources aligns all of these other things.
100%.
So build your human resource department foundationally strong, or go get help. My book is called The Executive Blind Spot: How Misalignment with HR Impacts Your Bottom Line. We do process improvement, we do workflow, and we do people. So there's a lot of different aspects within the human resource and business box that we can help with beyond just this leadership part. But as you see, all of these things align together. You can't just do one part and not do the rest. You're missing a piece of the puzzle. You're not aligned. And so that's what you need. That's how you show a strong force, is to be aligned. You're a force to be reckoned with when you can show alignment from top to bottom. So if anybody needs a consultation with me, I'm open. If we give free consultations, it's not something I charge for. It's something I want to talk to you about. What do you really understand, what issues you have? And here's some solutions. Here's how we can help. We also do culture surveys. We also are able to do a audit for the new executive orders to make sure you're in compliance with that. We do HR audits as a whole. We can help plan your HR strategies. We can help with your training, new employee onboarding. We can do all of that. We do not do payroll administration, and we do not do benefits administration. Beyond those two realms, anything HR, recruitment, all of that, we do it. And we're more than happy to be engaged by you and to work with you. I will say this though, because I have my own company, one of the privileges is I get to pick who I work with. And I want to work with people who want to do the right thing because it's the right thing, not just to check a box. If I feel like someone's just wanting to check boxes, they're not my customer. Everyone's not my customer. But I want people who really, really want to make these changes. Do you have time for a short story? Because I don't know what our time frame is. Do you have
Oh,
time?
sure. Yeah,
Oh,
go ahead.
so why all this is so passionate to me? Why am I so passionate about this? I'm sure my passion is shining through because I'm a passionate person,
It is.
right? But when I was about 19, I had my first corporate job, and I loved working there. It was like a cubicle type environment, call center type thing. I like going there because back when I was 19 is when Ricky Lake was out, and you had Donahue and Oprah, and then you had like the Jerry Springers of the world, and all the real what do they call it now? The real life TV started out in that era. So when I went to work, there was always something going on. It's like you had your popcorn peeking over the cubicle. Somebody was arguing with somebody. Somebody was getting fired. Someone was sleeping with somebody. Like the whole nine, it was drama filled. I loved it. That was like, yes, let me go here, get my free entertainment, and get paid to do it. So at the end of the day, around 4:42 to 4:52, I always had a restroom break because you didn't want to get caught at 5 o'clock with the phone ringing because you still had to answer it if you're at your desk, right? So, right. So you wanted to take that bathroom break so you weren't at your desk and so you didn't have to take those last minute phone calls. I'm just being transparent. Well, this particular day, I was hanging out in the bathroom and I heard this lady talking in the handicap stall. I heard her talking. And so I'm trying to, be a little nosy because that's, that's You're right. And it started getting a little louder. So I was like, man, she's arguing with somebody on the phone or something. But then I start to realize that she wasn't really arguing, and she was not on a phone. She was talking to herself. It's kind of mumbling. And then as it started to get louder, I realized it wasn't really a mumble, more of a wail cry. She was crying. So now I'm knocking, knocking, knocking. And then it became that primal cry that you no longer are making noise. It's just your body's kind of heaving the deep breathing. So I'm really not, what's going on? Come out. Are you okay? The lady finally opens the door, Stacy, and she's just a shell of a person standing there. And she's, on the, it's just hysterical. I'm like, what's going on? Are you okay? Are you sick? Whatever. And she's standing there, and then she does like this, and she opens her hands. She has a handful of pills. Stacy, she said, I can't do this anymore. I can't come here anymore, but I have to feed my kids. I have to feed my kids, so I can't come here anymore, but I have to feed my kids. I just want to go to sleep and not wake up.
Oh, wow.
And I still get goosebumps. This was about 30 years ago, and I still get goosebumps. In that moment, I felt A, completely helpless. I felt completely like broken for her, but immensely guilty. Because while I had never teased anybody or made fun of anybody or caused any drama, I was sitting there enjoying my day at other people's hurt and didn't even realize the impact of that. I was able to get someone in there to help me with her. We were able to flush the pills, and we got medical and all that kind of stuff. And I knew there was nothing I can do to help this lady, but I knew, and I know, like I my pastor says, you know, in your knower, I know in my knower there was never an opportunity for me to ever being involved in a culture like this, an organization that this was okay. I did not realize my part in it to that moment, and let me tell you, never again. I knew I couldn't help this lady, but if ever there's an opportunity for me to help an organization out where folks don't have to come to work in that type of environment, I was going to figure out a way to be a part of that. And that's where my passion comes from. My very first next job after that was actually what they call an equal opportunity specialist. So I worked in EEO. And it wasn't just EEO in the beginning. It was EEO, fair housing, and public accommodations discrimination. I was an investigator. So that was my thing. And then I decided to focus in, of course, like I said from the beginning, into the equal opportunity and human resource side of it. Also worked in operations. I have a huge background in operations. But throughout it all, the same thing I'm telling you, the same philosophies that I have is how I live my life. Those things are continuously in there. Mentoring groups and volunteering and leadership and leading these things, these different projects and things over the years so that I can be a voice for those who don't have a voice. And it just so happens that if you do these things, it's going to increase your profitability. Well, there's a win-win there. And so that's why I'm so passionate about why I do what I do, when I understand the dynamics in it. There's no one set of people in an organization. I don't care what your title is, you put your pants on one leg at a time, like I do. Dignity and respect in all that we do. Dignity and respect. And so, as long as you have those things and you really have a heart for trying to make the organization the best it can be, you're going to win. And if you have a problem, it's broken, you're not sure how to fix it, get some help.
100%.
Get
Oh,
some help.
I love it. I
Get
love
some
it.
help. So, I feel like I've been talking a lot. What else you got?
I just love your whole message was outstanding, and I love your compassion. I love your charismatic personality, and you really, everything you do out of love, and you really want to change, make a change, positive change in this world. And I love that. I love that about you. I really do, and I admire that. Now, when it came to your book, like, where can people find your book?
My book can be found anywhere books are sold. So they're in Barnes and Noble. You can go to Amazon. You can go to our website, which is BNXBA. We have some special add-ons. If you buy the book from BNXBA, because we want to give you some checklists, some self-assessments, and things like that, you can look at your own internal organization. But also, we have an opportunity that if you buy books in bulk, you'll get more of those freebies. But if you buy 10 or more, you'll get a bunch of freebies. Plus, if you'd like to have me come out and do some leadership training around this blind spot, around this skill gap, you can buy 10 books. You'll get a discount on my leadership package or workshop, and then you'll also have these freebies available. I want this to be more than a book. I want this to be a movement on how we start to better equip ourselves to have a product a positive and productive work environment beyond just, as people call it, the ivory tower, besides just the executives. But how do we take it from top down? How do we transform these workplaces? And so we do workshops. I do keynotes. I do long-term training programs if that's what you want. So those are things we do. So if you want any of that, if you're interested in us coming out and speaking with your organization, our website's BNX. So B as in boy, N as in Nancy, X as in X-ray, B as in business, A as in advisors, BNXBA.com. We are on all social media platforms, LinkedIn, all of that. You can find us. We really want to be a partner with you to enhance the workplace experience and enhance your productivity, return on investment, and help you generate income. These kind of things are not necessarily something you should have to worry about. You either have a team in place or you get a team in place. But it's so utterly important that you really are going to struggle to be as successful as you could be unless you put these things into place. And we're here to help.
I love it. I love it. This has been amazing. I am so happy you came on the show, Yara. I am so happy that you're doing this. You have made such an impact in our world, whether you realize it or not, but you are making positive change in this world. And we need more people like you because people in the workforce, our workforce, and companies, businesses, corporations, there are so many flaws in our system right now. And there are so many things that we are battling. And a lot of times it's just simple tweaks. So someone coming in and really bringing things to light and just showing people step by step on how easy we just by doing A, B, and C and doing X, Y, and Z that you could actually put everything together and become that strong unit. And that, what you do is so important because without our strong businesses, without our unity, without employees feeling good about themselves, we won't be the country we are. We need happy employees. We need employees that feel that they're appreciated, that feel that they are being treated right. We need to understand, the corporate has to understand where these employees are coming from, and the middle people have to understand how to connect with both and really bring all of it, that unity together. So what you do is outstanding, and I really appreciate you.
Thank you. I will say this too. The book, it's called The Executive Blind Spot. But when I said executive, I mean anybody who has authority over an entire organization. So it's just say you're a small business owner, you're still an executive. And I want you to know, especially for small business, get the book now. Set these processes in place before you ever hire anyone. Get your handbook together, get your philosophy together, your values, your core, all of those things. Get it so you have a firm foundation and you have an advantage because you can build it from the ground up, as opposed to having to reverse engineer it, which will take more time. So
100%.
get the book, set up a time with me, we'll talk. I'll give you what I have because I'm all about delivering value. I want you to walk away feeling like, hey, I've got some things I can do right now today. The very first thing your listeners can do is a self-assessment. Go to BNXBA, reach out to me, fill out our contact form. We'll send you over a assessment. Get the assessment, go through. Are you where you want to be? Are there places where you have gaps? Can you fill them in? But if you don't know, you know better. They say when you know better, you'll do better. But if you never know, how can it be better? Like you have to take that proactive step to find out where do we have problems? What are opportunities for improvement? You have to take that. Continuous improvement always.
Yes, 100%. This has been amazing, Yara. Thank you so much for coming on this show. I
Thank
really
you for
appreciate
having
you
me.
and everything you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, Stacey.
You have a great day.
You too.